You're listening to the Overachievers Podcast, or TOA.
I'm your host, Chris A. Cisneros, and today I'm joined by my co-host.
Yeah, I'm Thomas Colgrove, and I'm going to be talking about living in the now. I'm going to be talking about doing the right thing is enough and knowing your business destiny.
And I'm going to be talking about perspective, how to change your life with meditation, and how to prevent stress. All coming up after we talk a little bit about
the Overachievers Podcast.
I'm going to hand it over to Thomas so he can explain a little bit about what the Overachievers Podcast is actually about.
We want to help you express the best of yourself to the world in business and in life and gain a greater perspective and just do things in a better way that helps you express your inner legend.
100% agree with you, Thomas. This podcast is to help you guys transform your lives. And if you guys actually implement this thing, these things that we're going to talk about, I think it can dramatically change your life. So I'm just going to jump right into the first topic, which is perspective. Perspective is huge. And if you really don't know what perspective is, I mean, you're really missing out, because perspective can literally change your life, and it can change it like that in a snap of a finger, because it's kind of like a mindset, and it can even be a lifestyle if you think about it. So basically what perspective is, it's instead of just doing and never taking a step back to stop, that's what perspective is. It's taking a step back to stop. Just take a step back, take a break, not really like a break, like, oh, let me have fun. No, it's kind of like a pause. Let me put everything on pause for, it can be minutes or it can be days, right? So it's up to you. But it's kind of where you just take a step back to just look at things with different perspectives. And even when very brutal things happen, like let's say you get into a car crash or something terrible happens in your family. You know, if you just take a step back and look at it with a different perspective, for example, you know, you get into a car crash, you know, it could be worse. You could have gotten a new car. Maybe you could get a new car. So don't always jump into that negative situation.
Definitely. Because sometimes, like, you know, you look at the car crash and you don't think ahead, okay, well, what did this stop me from getting into in the future? Like, if this would have been 10 minutes later, I could have been dead. Or if this would have been 10 minutes later or a couple seconds later, instead of me just crashing into the semi, it could have, like, drove over my car. So, exactly. Yeah, so that perspective is really important. I like how you come up with that.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. So, like you said, kind of leeching off what you said, be grateful, right? Instead of looking at this negative situation and you kind of jump into those negative thoughts where you're just like, this and that, and why did it happen to that, and then you just get into this, like, ugly kind of negative state, instead of taking a step back and looking at it with, you know, a different viewpoint, because that is what perspective is, a different viewpoint. So, if you take a step back, even from reality, you start to realize, whoa, listen, my kid could have been in the car. I could have died. At least my car isn't completely wrecked, you know? So don't always look at the negative. Try to find the positive in things. And also, take a step back from reality. Because if you don't do that, if you're in that situation and you don't take a step back, you're just going to go off and you're going to rage. So take a step back and have a different viewpoint. Have perspective. So let's jump into the next topic.
Okay, so living in the now, I think it's so important, and it kind of builds on perspective as well, because if you're living in the now, you're going to have the greatest and most impactful perspective you can have. Whereas if you're constantly worried about what was or what will be, you're going to have a flawed and imperfect perspective, because you're going to be focusing on the past and the future, and that's not where the magic is. That's not where life is. That's not where life happens. It's kind of like Alan Watts says, you know, when a goose flies over water, the water does not anticipate the reflection, and nor does the water hang on to the reflection after the goose passes. It simply reacts. It simply grows. It simply gives life. It simply nurtures the creatures that live within it. And that's the kind of perspective we need to have when it comes to our own lives. We need to, yes, set time aside to look and dream towards the future. Yes, set time aside to look back and go over what happened, maybe learn from a mistake or admire the past. But you don't live your life that way. Like, you set time aside to do those things. But the majority, 90% of your time, really needs to be focused in on living in the now. And it's kind of, I don't know if you watch Kung Fu Panda. I love that movie. I think it has so many different life lessons in it. But Master Oogway, he said to Po, basically the same thing I'm talking about now, whereas it's like people are concerned with what was and will be. you know, the past is history, the future is a mystery, and the present is a gift. So we need to really think of it like a gift, and we need to cherish it like a gift, and we really need to act in the present, because it's going to give us the best perspective, it's going to give us the greatest outcomes, and it's going to allow for the greatest growth. And in order to be happy, we have to grow and have progress. And so it all kinds of ties into your ultimate destiny, your ultimate legend is really living now. And it can be really hard to do that.
It can be really hard to do that. 100%, 100%. Because if you keep focusing on the negative, I mean, where are you going to go, right? So that's why you don't dwell on the past. You know, the past is a past. Leave it there. The only reason you should go into the past is if maybe history repeats itself. Make sure history isn't repeating itself in a bad way, and make sure history repeats itself in a good way. So basically, don't dwell on the past. Don't look at negative thoughts in the past. The only reason you should be looking forward or backward is if it's in a positive way. And the reason I say that is because people look into their future like, oh my God, this is about to happen. Oh my God, this. Oh my God, that. Can we stop with the worrying and the stressing? Worry about it when it's happening. So what Thomas is saying is living in the now, right? So don't worry about things that haven't happened yet. That's the gist. Stop worrying about things that haven't happened yet. Basically, right?
Right. It's a really really good perspective, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, to have that. I feel a lot of people, I see a lot of people who are upset or something like that. It's because of either they're worrying about something that hasn't happened yet, or they're dreading and guilty or upset or admiring or whatever what already did happen and they're missing out on right now. In most cases, it kind of builds on, like, I think what you're going to be talking about here in a second is when you constantly just worry about something that hasn't happened yet, that's going to stress you out, right? And so it's just really important to not do that, because first of all, you might be creating something, like Zig Ziglar said, fear is false evidence appearing real. So you might be creating something that isn't even going to happen, or you might even manifest something into reality that was never meant to happen because of the fact you're constantly living in the future, not living now. So I think that that's one of the most important things ever to do and to master. And it's a skill. It's a skill like anything else. And people don't realize that. People think that, like, perspective isn't, it's just like a way of thinking, but really it's a skill. And it can be practiced and mastered. Like, you know, you have people out there who just always have a good attitude, always see the brighter end of the field, you know, and all that stuff. And that's because they've really practiced in their life every day having a good perspective, living in the now, and all of those things. It's like you can practice these things on a daily basis.
100% agree with you, Thomas. If you do something every single day and you practice it correctly, right? It's not only just practice. You always got to practice it correctly. You're going to become a master at it. They say that 10,000 hours doing something will make you a master. And a little thought just came into my head. What do you spend 10,000 hours on? Do you spend it on TV? Do you spend it on video games? So what are you a master at? TV or video games? Or are you a master at reading books, at business, at meditation, which is my second topic, meditation? You might be like, why are you talking about this topic? Well, I would ask the same question a year ago, except I realized the truth about it. You know, meditation seems like such a taboo thing. Like, oh my God, that's for Buddhists. What are you talking about? I'm not Buddhist. So why should I be doing meditation? Good question. It has nothing to do with religion. I'm telling you straight up like that because I thought it did, and that's why I strayed away from it, because I'm Christian. I was like, why do I gotta meditate? Nothing to do with religion. So it also isn't this taboo thing. It's scientifically proven to reduce your stress levels. It's also scientifically proven to increase your brain size. What? That statistic was like a shocker for me, because I'm just like, I'm sitting down with my back straight and my eyes closed doing nothing, literally just breathing. That's what meditation is. Sit back, you know, and just kind of like a breathing state doing nothing. That's increasing my brain size. That's increasing my happiness level. It is proven, scientifically proven, to increase the chemical. I believe it's oxytocin. I don't know what it is. Okay, don't quote me on that. But it's proven to release more chemicals that produce happiness. So Listen, it reduces stress, it increases happiness, it increases your brain size. What else do you want, man? It probably increases your age and your lifespan and everything, because we still haven't done long-term studies. So it might even increase age. It might increase your IQ. We don't know yet because we haven't done long-term studies. So all I'm telling you right now is short-term studies. Imagine the long-term studies. Who knows? Maybe it can cure cancer. Probably not, right? But that's kind of crazy to me that if you're sitting down in a chair and you're, you know, and you're just kind of breathing and letting your brain, instead of, you know, your brain going crazy and looking at all these thoughts, it's just focusing on breathing and focusing on the posture and making sure that your back is straight. That's crazy to me that that can do all these benefits. And at least for me, right, I had this crazy story 3 days ago in my back, in my car, and I had this back pain, right? And when I'm always meditating, I always have this back pain, because I'm sitting up straight. So it kind of bothers me. And when I was in my car, I kind of sit up straight and I felt this nerve pain. And instead of what my usual reaction would be like, ow, oh my God, what is that? I was like, pain, back, lower. I was like, wait, did I just jump into meditation like that? So I was like, whoa. And I don't know if this happens to everybody, but it happened to me. And I was like, really? Did I just not jump into like an anxiety attack? Because usually if I have pain, I'm like, oh my God, what is that? Oh my God. I Google it and I'm like, oh my God, it can cause cancer. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I just get into this negative state. But you know, I've been meditating straight for 3 weeks, and I kind of, 3 days ago, that happened. And I was like, I snapped into like a meditative state, like pain, lower back. Instead of like, oh my God, what is that? So I really do think that this can, if you're like anxious, I used to have a lot of anxiety and a lot of panic attacks. I haven't had an anxiety attack for, I don't know how, like a year, 2 years. I don't even know. I don't know yet, but I think meditation has literally cured my anxiety and my stress. So, I mean, guys, if you're not meditating, you're doing something wrong, right? Because I don't know what your reason is, but it's an excuse. And especially if it's time. If you don't have 3 minutes in a day to do something, I mean, you're making excuses. So go out, do your research, pick which meditation you're going to do. If it's prayer, in a meditative way, you know, just kind of like instead of like praying and I'm thankful and this and that and that and that, you kind of just relax and, what you know, do whatever your religion does, right? So it could be prayer, it could be breathing, it could be yoga, it could be so many other things. There's so many ways to meditate. So it's really basically just instead of focusing on a physical action or a emotional action, you just focus on, that's what you focus on, breathing. And there's obviously, that's the one I do. I do guided meditation, breathing, and you also analyze your body. So like, oh my God, I have pain here, And I'm telling you right now, I mean, I use Headspace, by the way, Headspace. There's a lot of other apps, though. And by the way, I'm going to make a prediction here. 3 years, meditation is going to be one of the biggest, like, health things out there. So when you guys see everybody meditating, come back to this podcast, the Overachievers Podcast, episode one. And I predict.
Definitely. There's actually an awesome book that I've come across. A mentor had passed it down to me at one time, and it's called The Master Key System. And this book by Charles F. Hanel, and this book will actually, it's meant to be read like one lesson at a time. And each lesson is going to take you at least a week. Some of them will take you even months. It's like a really involved book, but it's about meditation, and it'll actually teach you how step by step to like master your mind and even like your circumstances and situations and bring into your life the results that you wish. But it's not just through meditation, like kind of like you said, it's not this wonky spiritual you know thing that's like not real. It's like the manifestation starts in the mental processes and then through correct action and intuition, right? Because meditation, one of the greatest gifts it gives you is intuition and sagacity and tactfulness, and it puts it allows you to attract like the right people into your life that you need, because you know, like it or not, one way or another, everything you get comes from another person. So if you begin to meditate and you begin to crystallize the vision that you have for yourself mentally, then physically, you know, maybe it's a few years down the road, but the universe is putting those particles in the right place in order for you to have the opportunity to make it become a reality. So constant thought in the same direction, kind of like Tony Robbins says, where attention goes, energy flows. And that's what he means by that. It's not an immediate manifestation, like magical, boom, there it is. No, but like the universe will put those particles that aren't even in existence yet, that's kind of like the future particles, into a place where you'll have the opportunity to see it come to a reality. So that's meditation is just key, I think, for anybody, any religion, any lifestyle. You were spot on with bringing that up today. I think it's a good cornerstone piece of living a better life.
Yeah, man, 100%. So it can 100% improve your life, and especially if you're on a self-help transformation, then, I mean, I'm telling you right now, you got to start meditating, because it's going to improve your life 100%. It's going to speed up the process too. And another thing is law of attraction, right? It is not something spiritual. It is not something religious. It is not something supernatural. It is scientifically proven that if you get into this routine of thinking of this one thing, if you focus your thoughts on it, it's more likely to happen, simply because your subconscious gets ready for it, and your conscious is going to get ready for it. Kind of like driving, right? You don't realize you're driving sometimes. You're just thinking and you're still driving, and you're like, wait, I'm driving right now. I didn't even realize. You kind of forget, right? It's kind of like riding a bike, things like that. You never forget it. You kind of remember it instantaneously. So when you're kind of like, why am I working? Instantly, boom, you get that thought. You get that Lamborghini, right? Close your eyes, think of a Lamborghini right now. Instantly came into your mind. Am I right? Or am I wrong? Right? So that's kind of like the law of attraction is. Your subconscious is getting ready for things. And if you can't close your eyes and imagine $1 million right now, if that's your goal right now, that's a very small goal to me, at least. I don't know what your goal is. If it's $1 million, then close your eyes, think of $1 million. And you're already a step closer because you're getting your subconscious ready for it. And it's kind of like a routine, right? So like when you take out your phone, you immediately do something on it and you didn't even realize you did it. It's kind of like it just happens, right? Or you get up and you immediately brush your teeth. You didn't even realize you were brushing your teeth. Like it instantaneously happened because your subconscious is doing it. So that's kind of like the law of attraction is your subconscious is doing it. And I'm going to link below a video because I that's not my original content. That was kind of copied off of someone, inspired off of someone. So that's going to be in the show notes of that video that I'm talking about, because he explains it a lot better than I did. And another thing is, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, who even meditates nowadays, right? Okay. Tell me one person in the 1% that does not meditate. It literally doesn't exist.
Right.
It literally doesn't exist.
Yeah, you're never going to find it. And it might not be what, like, most people would call meditation, but it's their form of meditation. And that's what's so cool about meditation is that, like, there's only a few requirements for there to be meditation. Like, be by yourself and really, like, silence. And then other than that, it's like anything. You can do yoga at that time. You could, you know, run. But I mean, even running, maybe not running, but you could do something really, like sit in a swing or something. And as long as it's quiet and there's very little to no movement, then anything you're doing could be considered meditation. So you're spot on too with that. Like name one person and you aren't going to be able to.
Yeah, you really aren't going to find one, because, I mean, there isn't an excuse. There isn't an influencer or someone in the 1% that's always occupied that doesn't take time to themselves. Because if you don't take time to yourself, I mean, you're gonna stress yourself out. You're going to have anxiety attacks. You're going to have panic attacks. You're going to faint, like, all the time. Like Hillary Clinton, for example, she always has those problems where she just passes out. I mean, it's kind of weird, right? And my idea is that I think she's just getting burnt out and she's getting anxiety attacks. So meditation can prevent all of those things, and it can do a lot of beneficial things too. So listen, man, if you're not doing meditation, it's really because you're just making dumb excuses that aren't even real valid excuses. So go meditate.
So here, let's jump into this next topic here. And that is, doing the right thing is enough. Okay. And what I mean by that is, you should be doing the right thing regardless if somebody's watching you do what you're doing, regardless if you're getting any gratification for it, or anybody's saying thank you, or even if life's handing you a handful of shit for doing it. Because I've had it kind of each way, where it's like, you know, I've done the right thing because somebody was watching, or I've done the right thing because I wanted somebody to notice me for it. And then I've also gotten to the point where it's like, I'm going the extra mile, I'm doing the right thing, nobody sees it, nobody's thanking me for it, and I'm getting a handful of shit for it. And it's really hard to continue doing the right thing in those moments. Well, here's the deal. Kind of like with the meditation part where we were talking about, you can kind of project forward and get things to assemble to where you'll at least have an opportunity. Sometimes in life, you're not going to be getting rewarded or even noticed for doing the right thing, but that doesn't mean that it's not stacking up in your odds, right? Just because we can't see that favor building up doesn't mean that it isn't going to apply itself to our lives when we need it most. You see, because sometimes if we were to be congratulated or if we were to be noticed every time we did something right, then when we really needed things to come together, when we really needed to meet the right person, all of our favor, all of our bonus, you know, juice or whatever you want to call it, is going to be used up on a thank you. Oh, you did a real good job, a nice pat on the back. So I would rather go without those nice jobs and pat on the backs and all those things to allow my favor to apply itself at the right time in my life and allow me the opportunity that I need to really be successful, right? And there's a couple lessons that I learned over the years about doing the right thing. And that is, if you're doing the right thing and you want to prove to people, like prove a point, you can only prove a point at your own expense, right? So you got to really think about it. Is this worth me going out of my way to show them that I'm doing the right thing? Because first of all, it can backfire on you. Something can go wrong. You might look a fool. You might be right, but then you still look like an asshole or whatever it is. And all of that was at your own expense of time, your own emotional expense, your own time that you wasted being angry or upset, which is what caused you to do this and like prove the point in the first place. All of those things. So just remember that you can only prove a point at your own expense. That's a huge lesson in life. Took me a long time to learn, and I went through a lot of fights, a lot of lonely nights, and a lot of problems because I always felt like I had to justify what I was doing.
I 100% agree with you, man, and it's a really touching topic, especially to you, and especially to my friends and stuff. They're always like, oh my God, this, that, and the other. I'm like, that's just because you had expectations. So if you have expectations, you're already failing because expectations drive you to just failure. So always have zero expectations. Do something, expect nothing back. That way, if you do get something back, you're like, oh my God, you're like so happy. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Like, you're super excited because you weren't expecting something and then something did come. And the times that I'm happiest about a gift or something is when like a client buys me food and I wasn't expecting it, and looking back, I was like, yeah, I did something nice, I should have gotten something back, but I wasn't expecting it because I've already jumped into like a phase, and I'm not like bloating or bragging or something, I've already jumped into a phase where I'm just like nice, and I don't expect anything back, because that's just how you should be, guys. Like, if you're really doing something nice and you're expecting something back, I mean, you're just doing it wrong. Because then if you don't get anything back, you're like super pissed off. And if you do get something back, you're not like super happy. You're just like, okay, thanks. You're not like super like overly happy. So if you don't have any expectations, you can't be let down. And you're also going to be overly happy when something.
Right. And it kind of ties back into your first point really well with the perspective. It's like once you open your eyes to that perspective of just doing the right thing, it's kind of like what you just said. It'll all start to roll into a big bundle of what I would just call favor. You know, and you can't really see favor. Like, rarely do you see favor. It's like only in those few moments when, and it's kind of like what other people might call luck. But I think luck is the good fortune we determine for ourselves through hard work and through grinding and through having a vision for ourselves and those types of things. But it's like other people are going to be like, oh, he was just lucky or she was just lucky. But in reality, you're going to know, it's like you're going to be tired. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be like almost to the point where you're worn out and you needed that favor to come through in your life. And you're still tired, but you still know that was the opportunity you needed to be successful in the area that you want to be successful. So it's kind of like you're really the only person who's going to notice the full reality of it when it comes into your life, because you've it's kind of like Tupac says, they only see the... So, you know, it's just a great thing to get into the habit of and have that perspective, so...
100%. If you have perspective and you're always, you know, not looking for something back, you're not expecting something, I mean, you can't really be that down. And that kind of ties into my next topic, which is stress. Expectations can cause a lot of stress, especially when you have to meet expectations, which is another thing, right? A way to avoid stress is to just under-promise and over-deliver. I'm going to say that again for you guys. Under-promise and over-deliver. So when you're with a client or even with a partner or in a relationship or a friendship or any kind of relationship, always under-promise and over-deliver, because you're under-promising, so they're not expecting. So you're already putting your peer, or I don't know what relationship, but your partner or something, or your colleague, into a way they're not expecting something. Your client, you know, they're not expecting something, but then you over deliver, right? So they're just like surprised and bombarded with the amount of work you did. So always under promise and always over deliver. And I used to do the opposite, and that is where clients never came back. They were like, thank you so much, and they never talked to me. And I made that mistake like 3 years back. I did it once, and I realized it was the worst mistake probably in my entire business career, because those people aren't going to recommend me to anyone else, and they're also never going to pay me again. So basically, I over-promised, right? I got into the mode of sales, and that's not what sales is, right? So I learned my lesson. Sales is not over-promising and promising and promising. It's telling the truth. It's transparency. That's what sales is. I'm not going to talk about sales right now, but that's basically what sales is. So being completely transparent, be like, listen, I'm going to make this lead gen strategy that I've done with multiple other companies for you. It can be 25 to 50% increase in sales. It really depends on your company. More than likely, we're only going to get 20% of increase in sales, but let's see what's going to happen. So you under promised, right? That's a lie. You're not going to get 20%. You're probably going to get 30%, but I under promised just in case, right? Because then there's no stress. There's no way to get stressed, because you're obviously going to reach 20% increase in sales, because it's like proven always to get 20% or more, right? So 20%, and then you give him like 30%, and like, whoa, thank you so much. You give me 30% increase in sales. So he's under promise and over deliver. And that's just kind of like a lead gen thing. But obviously, like, oh, I'm going to give you this one video, and then you do two videos, for example. So that's like another thing. So give more. Just give out. Give. Like Gary Vee says, jab, 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 and then you get the right hook. So you give, boom, take. Or not take, right? It doesn't always have to be take, right? It can just be ask. So, yeah. And also, another thing is, you produce stress, right? That's kind of a mentality state that I have, a perspective. You are the producer of stress. Why are you producing this negative thing in your brain? You are the producer, and as a producer, you have the control and the ability to stop it, to just grab it and throw it out of your life. So every time you're thinking and you're stressing and you're worrying, be like, yep, I produced that. I produced that thing that is killing me right now. So let me just stop, right? Because you have the ability to, because you created it. So you're the producer of stress. So what I do, when I kind of like a step system here, a three-step system, analyze, right? I'm analyzing the situation. I'm in stressing right now. Step two, take a step back. Put your life on pause for a second. Oh, I'm stressing. Hey, boss, can I go to the bathroom? Yeah, sure. You go to the bathroom and you take a step back. Let me meditate for like 3 seconds, right? So that's the taking a step back. And the third step is to remind yourself, if it's positive affirmations, or if it's remind yourself that you're the producer of stress. That's what you are, the producer of these thoughts. You are the producer of these stress, of this anxiety, of this that, and that just kind of promotes a control, a complete control of your body and your mind. I mean, it produces you know, discipline and all these other things.
What I would do is just remind yourself when you have stress, I produce that. Why did I produce that? If it's hurting me,
right? Totally. That's perfect. That's a perfect just like system that you've given people. And what's funny is I know that it, you know, I mean, I've heard a lot of other people, but I've never really heard it put that way before, where it's like, you know, probably a mix of like three or four or five different gurus all at once right there, because like you really do produce the stress and the harmful, toxic thoughts that come into your mind. And if you can just pause for a second, I mean, that was just a perfect system. So maybe repeat that again for people if they're listening, so they can just like maybe get that in their mind, like that's the steps you take.
So yeah, it's very simple. It's when you're producing stress, remind yourself that you are the producer of that stress. Step two is to stop. Take a pause, whatever you're doing, stop. If you're driving, you're working on your computer, you're on your phone, stop it. Third step, meditate. And then you should be good. If you're not good, do it again. That simple. Do it again until you're done, until you have results. It's that simple, guys. Stop. Or not stop, my bad. Remind yourself you are the producer. Then stop. Then meditate. So yeah, 100%. It's kind of like the Tony Robbins thing, right, where where attention goes, energy flows. So if you're giving negative attention, a lot of negative attention, a lot of negative stress, then you're going to get negative energy. And it can literally change your outcome, because if your mind is programmed to think negatively, then every single time you're probably going to get, you're going to probably end up with a negative outcome. So stop thinking negatively, stop giving negative attention to negative things. Just give positive attention to negative things, and then it will turn, that negative thing will turn into a positive thing. So put in positive, bombard yourself with so much positivity that you can't handle it. Basically what I'm saying, right? So just bombard yourself with positivity, bombard yourself with love, bombard yourself with happiness. And I guarantee you, your life will change.
Yep. Whatever you have to do. Sometimes it can be hard, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that that's easy, right? But at the same time, you should kind of have your little system, or start thinking of a little system, like, okay, when I'm at work and I'm thinking these thoughts, this is the affirmation I'm going to use to counteract it. When I'm at home and the kids are, you know, begging to get a butt whooping, you know, by just being crazy and stuff, even don't spank your kids. That was a reference. But seriously though, it's like you've got to have those positive affirmations and ready for you. And I think that kind of leads in, honestly, to your business destiny. Is it all right if I step into that real quick, Chris?
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. Because, okay, now, what is your business destiny? And I don't mean this in like a corny way. I mean this in a sincere way. Your business destiny basically equals your business industry and the value you put into that industry. So even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you have a business, there's an industry. And the thing about work or responsibility, like when it comes to work, is that really it's going to be the one thing that has to be a third of your life. Like, you can lose sleep, you can lose family time, you can lose hobby time, but if you don't put in at least 8 hours of work each day, you're not going to be successful, right? Now, it takes like masters of time management to really, have a great work-life balance, but and still be super successful. But like, if you look at the 1%, like Gary Vee, he gave his 20s up. A lot of people, like, either had a really crappy childhood and like learned a lot from it and then applied all that wisdom, or they just gave it up for their business and their job, and they knew their industry right off the bat from the gate, but they just work. And that's what it takes to be successful. So if you don't know your industry, you could be wasting years of your life doing things that have nothing to do with like your innate talents, your gifts, and your value. And it's a huge problem in the future, because you're going to feel unfulfilled. Right, you're gonna feel like, oh my God, like it sucks to wake up, even when you're just like 28, and be like, oh my God, you know, I've been doing the wrong thing. Or I could imagine the feeling at 40 or 50 or 60, like I have been living my life wrong. And that's just a horrible, horrible way to think when you're 40, 50, and 60 years old. And that's not to say that that's too late at that point. But what knowing and or at least starting to conceive of your business destiny, what you're going to do is you're going to start like learning and visualizing how to apply your value to a specific industry that you're going to be able to be the greatest help to other people. And the more people you can help, the more successful you're going to be. It's like Jim Rohn said, you know, it's okay to just solve your problems. There's just not a lot of money in it. The money comes from solving other people's problems. And not that money is the only thing to really consider, but it is the easiest to count. It is the easiest to quantify. And if you're curious on how you're doing, you can always just count. You know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, those types of values are harder to gauge. But understanding your business destiny is going to help you not only do business, but make every life decision. You'll know where to live. You'll know who to hang out with. You'll know what foods to eat, what type of clothes to wear. It'll help you make every decision quicker, less stressfully, and it'll put you on a path that is going to allow you to be the highest version of yourself. And I think that's super important. So that's knowing your business destiny, man. And if you're curious on how to figure out, like, oh, what industries are there, just Google, like, industries in America. You know, the top 20 industries in America. And
yeah, that's an entirely other thing. It's Google things, right? If you don't know how to do something, don't make an excuse about it. Oh, I don't know how to do this, so I'm not going to do it. Google it, figure it out, and then just do it, right? So instead of just making all these excuses, just execute. Google things when you don't know how to do them. It's that simple. I don't want people seeing that excuse of like, oh, I don't know how to do it. Just had to put that out there. Go ahead, Thomas.
We are in America. We are in America. We have Google. We have like libraries and stuff. You know, it's like sometimes Google can be overload, but at the same time, it will give you a place to start looking. Like, you know, you don't have to click the ad. You know, you can go a few pages back and it'll give you a source like, oh, well, this guy is the modern father of economics. You want to learn how to make money. So go to the people who first started like investing in finance and stuff, and then reverse engineer your way back. One other thing that I wanted to say about business destiny. Oh, I lost it. It'll be all right. It's just super, super. Oh, here we go. When you're going to choose your business destiny, never be opportunistic with it, right? Don't say, oh, well, you know, real estate's doing really good right now, so I'm just going to choose that as my industry. Never be opportunistic with industry. You're opportunistic with products within industries. And you can basically intertwine any product with an industry. But in order to do that successfully, you have to become a master of a specific industry, right? Like in the medical industry, you can own real estate. You can sell real estate. You could have hospice homes. You could have private nursing homes and all those other types of things if you're a nurse practitioner. So you could still have real estate in the medical field, but you'd have to be a master of your industry to really take advantage of all that those things have to offer as products within an industry. So just keep that in mind. And then here's one last point with business destiny, your industry, is no one industry makes more than the other. Right? So if you look on Forbes and you look up on the top 500, it's like no one industry is going to be in there more than another. So don't be opportunistic with your industry, because if you make it to the top of an industry, then I guarantee you that you're going to have all the wealth you could imagine and all the influence you could imagine, all the friends you could imagine. So just keep those things in mind when you start thinking about your business industry. It's not about, like, one doesn't make more money than the other. And you can tie basically any product to your industry once you become a master.
That's another thing completely. If you're not passionate about something, you're doing it just for the money, I mean, you're going to fail. It's that simple, because, you know, you're not passionate about it. So when you get through that rough stage, that rough patch of grass, that rough I can't speak. The rough patch of grass, you're going to be in trouble for sure, because you're not going to want to go through there because you're just doing it for the money. You're not doing it because you're passionate about it or because you actually believe in it. So don't choose something just because it's trendy or just because it's going to make more money. Do something because you actually love it. And another thing is clarity, vision, and focus. If you're not focused, you're doing things completely wrong, because the only reason you should make another business or have more than one business is if the other business can run by itself, or it's like not a business, kind of like a side hustle. That's basically what I see a lot of people failing at as entrepreneurs, is that they have like four businesses and they're all four full-time businesses and they cannot run themselves, right? So if they leave, they're screwed. So if you're the CEO of a company, do not open another company until that other company, kind of got confusing there, company A, in order for you to open up company B and have company A still running, is for company A to have a complete system where you could leave to company B and company A will still run. If company A cannot run without you, then do not open company B. I hope you guys got that. Basically, the gist of that is don't go start doing other things if the main thing you're doing cannot run by itself without you.
And I think that all those things, like especially speaking to people, I think is like a speaking into people's lives, like blessing people. And I mean, and I, it doesn't matter what religion, you could be, you know, Christian, yogi, Muslim, whatever, but, or just entrepreneur straight up, like, or, you know, motivational speaker, or, you know, athlete. It doesn't matter like what you do. But when you start like blessing, like speaking blessings into people's lives, like that's a trend, that's something that really launches you like way ahead of the game, because you're actually helping people that you might never meet. You're help, you know, like how many people do you think Michael Jordan helped get in the NBA and never met him? You know what I mean? Just by example, and he made some videos too about like, you know, the game and how many shots he'd missed and all those things like that nobody ever really knew about. So it's like just take into perspective the opportunity that once you become a master of your industry, like the opportunity you'll have to help people that you'll never even meet. And that's such a beautiful thing to me, is like that's where I want to be able to help so many people just be successful and express 100%. Themselves.
That's
so.
Something we want to do together, man. Thomas and I, we want to spread our message to the masses. And if you guys can help us out with that, that'd be great. So if you guys can share this podcast, share our social media links. I mean, guys, that'd be amazing. In the show notes, we have all our social media links. We have an email. So if you guys can share your testimonies and how this podcast has affected your life and what you're going to do to implement these things into your life, because you can know, you can listen to all these things, but you can have the information into your subconscious, but are you going to put it into your conscious, into your physical body, where you're actually doing it? So don't just listen, right? Actually do these things and implement them into your life. And that's going to be it for the first ever episode of the Overachievers Podcast. It's been a great episode. We would usually have a recap at the end of the episode, but we're already like 10 minutes over. So I want to cut it off now. And I did have to reshoot, just for those people that are still listening. I love you guys. I actually had to reshoot my entire vocals because they were the first time I didn't record correctly. So if this sounds a little bit too much studio like, it's because I'm literally shooting this in a quiet room without Thomas, because I had to reshoot it. But yeah, guys, I hope you guys really do enjoy our content. I really hope you guys share it to people that you love and care about so they can change their lives and transform their lives. And even us, we're going to transform our lives. Now, I'm going to cut it off because I'm already like 43 minutes. Thank you guys so much for listening, man. And if you're watching on YouTube, give it a like. Share it in the comments. Share it to the people. Share it to the masses, man. We want to step in an event, in an arena, and talk to you guys. Hopefully, we can do that soon. If you guys share this content, like, we can seriously get there with your guys' help. We truly love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, watching, and sharing.